Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk with Dr. Paul Kanger. He's a professor at Grove City College. He's written several best-selling books. His latest book is called The Devil and Karl Marx. And Karl, Paul Kanger joins us on this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Paul, it's great to have you back on.
Well, thank you, Jerry. Good to be back.
Sure.
A lovely, joyful topic.
Yeah, really. One of the points you make in the book, the true believers in Karl Marx, they create, quote, their communism became their religion, even as they scoffed at religion as something for superstitious idiots. Truly, their manifesto was and became their catechism, their Bible. But I understand from you that not only was Karl Marx an anti-religious bigot, if you will, he was anti-Semitic, and he was also a racist. Now, that's very interesting, that last point, racist. Karl Marx was a racist? Listen, that's the original sin in modern America, and here we are with all the cancel culture, which is a byproduct of Marxism, and yet the father of cancel culture, Karl Marx, was a racist? Tell us about this.
Yeah, he sure was. And you know, you mentioned treat it like a religion. Jerry, people don't know this. The Communist Manifesto, Marx and Engels in their letters to one another, they originally referred to it as the Communist Confession of Faith. And there's a letter from Engels to Marx where he says, give a little more thought to the title, Communist Confession of Faith. I think we should drop the catechetical form and just call it the Manifesto. The Communist Manifesto. So yeah, this is very typical of them, a sort of an aping of God. You know, Ronald Reagan referred to communism, that religion of theirs. And yeah, they became, of course, very hostile to religion, very hostile to Christianity. And I think the anti-Semitism, I mean, I know a lot of liberals listening, Jerry, they're like, oh, I don't care if he was anti-Christian. Come on, Ken Gore. All right, well, he was very anti-Semitic. He said, he told his
but
friend
he was
Arnold
Jewish,
Rouge, quote,
right?
Yeah, he was Jewish, but he was an ethnic Jew. He was not a religious Jew. He told his friend Arnold Rouge, he said, the Israelite faith is repulsive to me. The Israelite faith is repulsive to me, and he said, what is the worldly cult of the Jew? The answer, money. What is his worldly god? Haggling. And here's an amazing statement: emancipation from haggling and money. It is the emancipation from the Jew that is the real emancipation of our age. Which sounds like something that Hitler would say. Very anti-Semitic, very racist. If you wanted to really get on his ugly list, you know, like one of his associates, Ferdinand LaSalle, who was half Jewish and half black. So Marx referred to him as the Jewish N-word. In fact, the N-word is throughout Marx's writings.
No,
that
the N-word?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh
the
yeah.
The famous one, yeah, not it, the it, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's all throughout, and in fact, I mentioned in a previous show how two of Marx's daughters committed suicide in suicide pacts with their husbands, and one of the husbands was named Paul Lafargue, and he was partly Cuban, and so in Marx's view, that meant that he was partly black. And in fact, there's letters between Marx and Engels as proud evolutionists where they're trying to deduce with scientific accuracy, quote, how much N-word blood is in Paul, 1/8, 1/12. And they're studying his cranial complexion, the size of his brain. And you know, Marx referred to Paul as Negrillo or the gorilla because he had some Negro blood in him. By Marx's estimation, there's Marx concluded. Marx was trying to figure this out with Engels. He said it's now perfectly clear to me that as the shape of Paul's head and the growth of his hair indicates, he's descended from the Negroes who joined in Moses' flight from Egypt. The cranial formation is the giveaway, unless that is his mother or grandmother on his father's side was crossed with a N-word. And then Marx said, this union of Jew and German on a Negro base was bound to produce an extraordinary hybrid. That's the kind of stuff that he said. And he and Ingalls have one moment where Ingalls is recommending, Paul is running for a political position in a district in Paris that contains a zoo. And so Ingalls jokes, he's like, well, giving in qualities, Paul, the quality that Paul is in part a N-word, that is lower on the evolutionary scale and closer to apes than the rest of us, he should be ideally suited to represent that district. And then he and Carl have this chuckle. So all of this kind of stuff, which in the cancel culture, Jerry, you find one statement like that from Donald Trump or Ronald Reagan or John Wayne, right? They're done. They're done forever. But like Marx, kind of like Margaret Sanger speaking to the Silver Lake, New Jersey chapter of the KKK, you can get away with this if you're a leftist icon. You could be as racist, apparently, as you'd like, and the left is not going to cancel you.
And how influential is Karl Marx? I mean, kind of put this in perspective. Why is this stuff significant, you know, some of these obscure letters and so forth from Karl Marx?
We are trained Marxists. Who says that? Patrice Cullors.
Oh, one of the co-founders
of Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, co-founder of Black Lives Matters.
Right, yeah, which is the height of ironies. Because, I mean, given that Black Lives Matter is about black lives, the idea that one of the co-founders would self-identify as a Marxist. And as she said in an April 2018 interview, we spent the entire year reading from Marx to Lenin to Mao. Maybe she ought to call herself a communist. If she knew what Marx's views toward blacks, Marx didn't believe that black lives matter. Marx was a racist. And I guess in Patrice's defense, Jerry, I assure you she doesn't know any of this because she's a product of our liberal universities that have learned nothing bad about Marx and only stuff, quote unquote, good about Marx, which is why Marxism is making a comeback. And I mean, look, the majority of people in America and certainly the majority of people in groups like Black Lives Matter, they're not Marxists. But look at the polling. I mean, we now have through Gallup and other surveys, a really surprising number of people who say positive things about Marxism. And at the least, especially among millennials, more millennials prefer socialism over capitalism. And I track those numbers, as you know. And I mean, that's now like 46% to 42%.
Oh, man.
So, if we just knew this stuff
such
about Marx,
majority.
Then maybe people would be less inclined to call themselves Marxists and follow this ideology of his, which aside from the fact that he was a racist and an anti-Semite, he was responsible for an ideology that killed more people than any other ideology in history.
Yeah. I have a copy of a gigantically thick book, which, by the way, I received from Voice of the Martyrs. And Voice of the Martyrs was founded by Richard Wurmbrand, who used to be a pastor in Romania, communist Romania. He was tortured for his faith and even wrote a book about it. And he founded that organization. But it seems like wherever Marxism has gone, there's misery and destruction that follows in its wake. Is it that they just somehow haven't applied Marx right, or did they just somehow get it wrong? The wrong person's not applying it. I mean, look at somebody like AOC. She's pleasant to look at, but she espouses Marxism, and she's also she comes off as, you know, not all there, you know, and a little bit vacant in the head, if you know what I mean. But she espouses Marxism.
She was 4 weeks old when the Berlin Wall fell. So all she knows about communism is what she's learned in the schools, which is why she likes it. Or at the very least, let me put it this way. Let me restate that. Which is why, at the least, she's not critical of it, right? Which is why she's critical of capitalism instead. She's a product of our educational system. And by the way, Richard Wurmbrand, wrote in Tortured for Christ about, he said, All of the worst tortures in Dante's Inferno cannot begin to compare what the tortures are like in communist prisons. He said, I had captors shouting at me, we are the devil, we are the devil. One of them said, I've lived all my life for this moment when I can express all the evil in my heart out on you. And Wormbrand even talked about, he alluded to the, he said, what happened in the Romanian prison of Petesti? Jerry, I have like 20 pages in this book on the Romanian prison of Petesti. Black masses, crucifixion of Christians, priests forced to take human excrement and turn it into communion wafers and dip it in urine and shove it in people's mouths as they denounce the great idiot crucified and denounce the Virgin Mary as the great whore of Christ. That's the kind of stuff that's gone on under communism. Really, I should have called this book not The Devil and Karl Marx, but The Devil and Communism. It has been a really diabolical ideology. And our young people like AOC, everything that I've said in this show is such a lightning bolt of new news to them. They won't even believe it because they'll say, oh, I couldn't have been lied to that bad in college. I mean, really? I never learned any of that. Professor, you got to be making this up.
Okay, you mentioned anti-Semitism. Is there anything you want to add to it in terms of Karl Marx being an anti-Semite, despite, having, as you said, he was a lineal Jew? It wasn't even from a line of rabbis, even.
Yeah. No, he came from a family of rabbis. I'll add this. Aside from what I said about Judaism, what Karl Marx said about Christianity, for you social justice, religious left people out there that think we could learn something from Marxism, Marx wrote, the social principles of Christianity preach cowardice, self-contempt, abasement, submission, and humility. The social principles of Christianity are hypocritical. Yeah, that's what he said about that. George Jung, who was a Marx contemporary, very close to Marx, said that Marx calls Christianity one of the most immoral religions. And Marx said, Jerry, not only the religion was the opiate of the masses, it is the heart of a heartless world, it is the soul of soulless conditions, it is the sigh of the oppressed creature, and communism begins where atheism begins. So for those religious left Christians out there that find something positive to say about Marxism, Marx would have told you that you're mad.
Huh.
You're completely ill-informed of what Marxism is. As Bukharin and Lenin and the others said, communism and Christianity are incompatible. We must fight religion at the tip of the bayonet.
Wow. You know, what's so amazing about this, Paul, is that I hear some people, well-meaning Christians even, using the phrase social justice. It sounds good, but in reality, you strip it all away, and a lot of times it's sort of like Marxism light.
Yeah, well, they use it as kind of a substitute or almost a metaphor for socialism, which they shouldn't, because classic social justice really isn't that. There's a lady from my church. We go down the March for Life every January, and a lady from my church, she wears a T-shirt that says "Social justice begins in the womb," and it does, with the protection of the unborn. But too many people on the religious left, when they talk social justice, they're not talking about the kid in the womb. They're talking about some form of collectivism or wealth redistribution. So they're really abusing that term in a way that the founders of the term did not intend for it to be used and interpreted.
And it's not just, because social justice in the Marxian vein is a form of stealing and envying, and that's not just.
That's right. Yeah, in fact, envy is one of the seven deadly sins.
Yeah.
And Marxism, first and foremost, is indeed about envy. And also, too here, Jerry, this is so typical of many of the people on the left, how they accuse other people of what it is that they're really obsessing over.
Yeah, projection.
You know, they accuse capitalists and people of being obsessed with money. They were obsessed with money. I mean, these guys wanted to fashion a golden calf out of the strictly material, out of money. For them, you know, Jesus told Satan, man does not live by bread alone. But for the Marxists, right, their worldview, they were all about solve the economic problem, solve the human problem. they act as if man truly does live by bread alone.
Dr. Kanger, we're going to have you back on and explore more of this. Again, the name of his book is The Devil and Karl Marx. Faithandfreedom.com for more information. Thank you, Paul. Always a pleasure.
All right, Jerry. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye now.